Well, I just want to share with you why I started really studying Psalms. We run a beach retreat with the kids several years ago. And it's a beach retreat, so there's no program. I don't plan much. It's to have fun. And for worship, we generally sing through our whole songbook, because to us, that's worship. But then I thought, I should probably have a little scripture. So having planned nothing, I took the Bible and figured I'd be safe if I just open it up to the Psalms, right? So that's exactly what I did. And I remember we're on a beach retreat. The first verse I looked down and said was, "Save me, Lord, I'm drowning." Closed the book, went to the beach. Counted on the lifeguards. Let us pray. God, open our hearts. Calm our spirits. Give us focus. And teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these third graders were so excited. I just loved, Erica Benjamin would normally have done this, but you know she's out on maternity leave, except she was here at 8 o'clock, so some of us got to see her and the baby. But anyway, so I got to do it, and I really loved it. I loved meeting with them and talking with them, but I mostly loved the excitement that they had about getting this big kid Bible. These things are big, and they're heavy. They're very impressive. You know, a lot of them said, well, yeah, I got a story Bible or a little kid's Bible when I was maybe born or, you know, early on. Most of them didn't know where it was. Or if it was on the shelf, they didn't really read it anymore. They feel like they've outgrown that. One guy did admit that his was under his bed with his dirty socks. I said, well, at least you know where it is. But one little girl who's actually here today, she left me speechless. She got that Bible and she held it like it was made of pure gold. And she just lovingly, like she just really blocked me out and just turned in, you know, started just looking through all the different books and turning the pages and just very excited. I mean, the only thing about this Bible is there are no pictures. So you know you're growing up when your Bible has no pictures. But the respect she gave this book, seriously, I just stared at her thinking, this is so exciting. She gets it. She's going to read this Bible, and she is going to seek God with her whole heart. It reminded me of a quote. It says, to have that Bible and not read it is like starving to death when the cupboard is full. So much. We have so much wisdom and so many teachings in that book. To not read it, such a shame. But then we always have to say, are we spending enough time seeking the purposes of God? So today we're obviously focusing on the wisdom psalms and the psalms of seeking. Wisdom literature in the Bible, it reveals God's truth and God's plan. For David and the writer of many of the Psalms, wisdom and faith were very inseparable. Wisdom wasn't just some little extra piece that you asked for once in a while or you had on occasion. Wisdom and faith were very intertwined and very necessary for each other. So when you have to think about, well, how do we know this? Where did these thoughts on wisdom come from? Clearly, the Psalms today answered that for us. Psalm 119, the real long psalm, begins, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his teachings. Blessed are those who seek God with their whole heart. With my whole heart, I seek thee, Lord. Let me not wander from your commandments. And the other really good one is Psalm 1, which begins, blessed is the one whose delight is the law of the Lord. I mean, can you say that? Whose delight, that's a great word, is the law of the Lord. So, I'm sorry, but the teacher in me needs to explain a few terms. There's a lot of these words we use all the time, law and blessed and word, but I feel like over course of time, they've lost a little of their meaning, so I did some research, and Law has nothing to do with, obviously, the judicial system, and everything to do with the teachings of the living God. For Hebrews, the law was and is the Torah, or I think they say Torah, the first five books, and there are some fun laws in those five books. But this is law in the bigger sense. It means instruction. It reveals, it's God's teaching and revelation about God's own self. It's about how God created and continuously keeps God's own covenant, how the fathers of the faith did their part to keep the covenant and pass it on. James Mays, a writer, says, law is how the Lord reaches, touches, and shapes the human soul. It reveals a God who, while offering to be shield and shepherd and savior, is willing to save the soul of each one of us and ultimately the whole world. That's why we call it good news. But to limit the law to just those first five books is unfortunate, because this is a very important concept. It encompasses all of what God has revealed to us about God's own nature. Now, the psalmist compels us to seek the truth in that law, to learn it, meditate on it day and night, to study it, to accept it, understand it, and ask God for the humility and the strength to put it into practice in our everyday lives. And now here's the bonus. Then and only then are we blessed. Psalm 1 says, the one who meditates on the law of the Lord is like a tree that's planted by the water. Its roots grow deep and get strong, and its leaves do not wither. And there's some anthem I sang at some point in time that says, I like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I would sing that for you, but I pale in comparison to Ron and Carissa. But Helen White is dancing to it out in the narthex. Yeah. So let me tell you something about this word bless or blessed. Contrary to other places in Scripture, you know, they equate being blessed and with being happy. And I guess that's fine, but when I studied it, I think that's a weak comparison. Blessed has so much depth to it. It translates to be chosen, cherished, and called. We are blessed. We are chosen, cherished, and called. It also means, I like this one even better, to be blessed is to be able to move forward. You know, you have those times when you feel like you're stuck or you're slipping backwards. The blessed person, by finding the truth, is able to move forward always. I love that. It's knowing for certain that God is dependable, that God imparts wisdom whenever we need it. I do remember when in my ministry, I realized you could ask for wisdom for just about anything. And suddenly, I'm not kidding you, that my ministry picked up a little. And I felt it, and people felt it, and were like, something's happened to you. And I'm like, I claimed a gift. And I swear, every time somebody shows up at my door, with every phone call, every class, every sermon, every anything, wisdom is the thing I ask for, and I have never been let down. To be blessed is to believe without a doubt that God keeps God's promises and God holds us in the palm of God's hands. I can go forward unafraid, and I can have the abundant life that Jesus talked about. And our Psalms tell us, we come full circle, the only way to be blessed is to study the law of God, the word of God, to learn the purposes God has for us and for the world. The psalmist says that's where your joy comes from, is knowing the true nature of God. How can you not know the true nature of God and not feel an amazing joy to be part of creation? That's the way to be always secure. It's the way to be immovable. It's the way to be safe. Now, we sang words from Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Probably the best known part of 119 there is. And I'm like, I remember that being like the first contemporary song we ever sang. And then I realized contemporary, it was 1984. So it really was probably first. Michael W. Smith wrote it, and it was, we thought it was like, wow, it's great, you know. But the lamp, it's important to know, the lamp in Bible days was like a flattened teapot. You might have seen pictures. I should have had one on the slides. I don't do slides very well. But it was like that, and it had a very, very small wick, which was easily blown out, like by the wind or too much talking. But the light from that lamp only fell 3 or 4 steps ahead of you. It was not like a light that would take you, you know, way into the a literal dark night. Not like those atomic lights they're selling on TV, you know, that are going to wake up your whole neighborhood when you flick it on. Just 1 or 2 steps ahead of you in the darkness. So if God's word is like that lamp, it means God himself, as the giver of light, is always a few steps out in front of us, is always willing to be there for the next few steps on our way. We want all the answers down the road, and of course, I mean, that's human nature, but all we really need, all that's enough, is that God is willing to be just right ahead of us in those next few steps, showing us the things that might trip us up, revealing any dangers in the dark, helping us to get where we need to be safely. Now, the seeking of wisdom and truth comes real easy to some of us and not so easy to others. I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic that after 41 years of ministry, I'm still learning. That's the best part of teaching, taking a class, you know, really reading. I'm still learning. And it doesn't happen all at once. I know some of you have been in every Bible study we've offered, and some of you have not had the time to do it. What am I pointing to? There's a lamp. How'd you do that? Man. That's it. That little bit of oil in there and a tiny little wick. Technology. I'm in awe. Thank you, Ryan. Well, the Eugene Peterson, who is the man Ron's been referring to, he got that great book, and I had, of course, had to get one to keep up with him. And he writes some interesting reflections on when he was younger. This is the guy who translated the whole scripture, you know, into what we call the Message. He struggled at first. He said he had a hard time reading the Psalms, and he had a hard time truly seeking Christ. So he wrote this. He said, you know, I have come to the water's edge of faith, and in the pool before me is my God and my life and the Word. And it matters not whether I do a swan dive or just steal over the edge. Yet I act as one who has never seen the water. I yearn for it. I don't know how to get into it. So I will sit at the edge, and I will read from the Psalms. And at a time when all is right, I will find myself alive and soaking wet. That much faith I do have. So I urge you to sit at the water's edge. Let your toes dangle in, wade up to your waist, or take that swan dive in. But let the Psalms speak to you and for you. Let's take a lesson from our third graders. And let the Word of God make us excited and expectant and hopeful and full of wonder. For as the psalmist says, when we seek God with our whole hearts, we will find God and we will be blessed. Thanks be to God.